WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
They say nighttime is the right time. Well, we're here. It's time. A little bit after 6 o'clock. Welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. Whew. Looks like it's stopping now. It was drizzling rain not too long ago. I went out for a little bit, came back in. We did have some heavier showers 3 hours ago. All I can say is we turned the clocks back an hour. And, it's looking like nighttime. Welcome to Brian's Beat. Glad to be with you. And speaking of nighttime, I went outside around 4:45, pitch dark. Tim was actually coming in the door as I was going out. And I don't know. Maybe at 4:45, 4:47 to be more exact. It's depressing to be dark at that particular time. I don't mind it being dark at 6 o'clock. It just seems like the correct environment. You know, it's an evening show. Even though sometimes when it's daylight out, I say afternoon, evening. 6 o'clock is close enough to saying evening. You don't hear the news people on TV at 6 o'clock say, "Welcome to the afternoon news." No. It's the evening news with whomever. Speaking of the darkness, I was reading in the Standard Times, their online edition, and there was this elderly man who apparently went missing. And he has dementia. We don't know his name. He has been found. New Bedford police report that the man has been found. But I bring the story up because it is getting darker a lot earlier. I mean, at least an hour earlier than it was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 2 days, whatever it was. And there are times when people who are in that early stage dementia think, well, you know, it's nice out. I'm going to go out for a little bit of a walk. And they do, and it gets dark, and they have no clue where they are. As a person whose mother went through dementia, thankfully she didn't walk out on her own, but there were times when she would go out thinking she was able to still drive. And, well, it gets dark and sometimes you don't remember it was that left or that right. And I remember one time the authorities called and said, we found your mom and she was up near Boston when she was trying to get near Framingham. So sometimes we always have to be careful, but if you have a relative or a neighbor who has dementia, you know about it, and you see that it's getting near dark and they're outside, you might want to just take a peek to make sure everything's okay. I came in early today because I was on for Barry. There was about 6 pieces of Halloween candy, Milky Way and Snickers. You know, the little bite-sized type. And I was tempted to go take one at, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning. When I was done Barry's show, all but one piece was gone. A couple hours later, even that one piece was gone. No, I didn't have any. I was tempted, but I did not have one piece. Glad to hear it. The federal government, the Trump administration, is now telling us they only have half of the $8 billion that they need to fund SNAP, the food stamps, for this month. I don't know where the rest of the money went, but they're saying they only have half. What can we say? It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat. When they've got the money, you know not where that money is going to end up or go. Just saying. Just saying. 508-996-0500. One story that I did not get into this afternoon that I think I want to bring up at this particular time. The folks, look, you might know this already. The folks at South Coast Renewables, read that as Parallel Products. They have filed an appeal against the New Bedford Board of Health. Apparently, South Coast Renewables really wants to put their dump up at the New Bedford Business Park. I did reach out to Wendy, and I'll see if we can get her on the program in just a bit. Wendy is with South Coast Neighbors United, and to see what they might have in store, because my guess is this is going to court. I can't see, at this particular time, South Coast Renewables stepping aside. I don't think the Board of Health plans on stepping aside. They would be shirking their duties if they did that. But it really should be interesting now, because there is the host community agreement that was signed by the mayor a little while ago. And I don't mean like a couple of days, but that puppy is still in force. So if you are a judge and the mayor of the city, who is also an attorney, and I suppose the solicitor of the city also had some say in how the community agreement would be written up, it might be difficult to fight this. I don't know. I would certainly like to find out. And I'm feeling really sorry for the people up in the north, far north, with all of this that's going on, because they came to the meetings, they argued their case, well enough to win in front of the Board of Health. The vote was 2-1. But it's almost like somebody had a dagger. They pulled it out of the drawer and they found the city of New Bedford's rib cage and stuck it right in there. I don't know what's going to happen. But I got to tell you, the fight continues. And Wendy Morrill, she told us this. It's not over. It's a victory that we won back in September, but it's not over. And she is absolutely correct. It is not over. It makes me wonder how the people in the city of New Bedford are going to respond to this. Do they feel defeated, or does the move by South Coast Renewables, does that re-energize you at this particular time? You've had your yay hooray. That would be back in September. October, you got your game face back on. And now here we are in November. Actually, the appeal was filed in the third full week of October. But it's making the papers now. It's a big thing. Big thing. You know, the governor the other day, she released $4 million to help out with this whole thing dealing with SNAP, going back to SNAP. But the four, you know, sometimes I've said this often, and my dis- my decision has not changed here. I think the power brokers know what the hell they're doing. Whether the yous and me's do or do not is an entirely different thing. As I reported earlier, the Trump administration, they were told by a judge on Friday that they had to dig down and release the money from the contingency fund that was set aside for SNAP. Today, the administration said, oh, we only have about half that money. Last week, Governor Healey said that, oh, we got $4 million. Remember, this is the state that has $8 billion in the rainy day account. And she released $4 million. But is that money going directly to SNAP? No. It's going to the food banks. Once again, it's like the people can't make the decision on their own how to spend the money. Tax dollars that have been converted into rainy day money is sitting there, can be used for the people of the Commonwealth. Nuh-uh. We'll throw in this $4 million. By the way, the federal government would be paying to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts $240 million for the month of November. And Governor Healey was able to scrounge up $4 million, not put it in the SNAP, but send it over to the food banks, over to her friends over at the food banks. Now, the food bank people, they get to go out and buy food, and who knows what happens with all that money. But that means that the people, including folks that are tied down to their home, have to somehow, some way, get over to the food bank or have somebody from the food bank deliver to them. The system is screwed up. We have a good overall system, but the people running it, they are screwing it up. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Thank you. You're first up this evening.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I am. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. You know something, Brian?
I know nothing.
If you're a taxpayer,
I know nothing.
If you're a taxpayer, homeowner, a business owner in New Bedford, you get all of these critics that come out of the woodwork that live in Wareham, like Tony from Wareham. You get people from Fairhaven and Dartmouth talking about New Bedford politics. But if they care so much about our city and giving money away to illegal aliens, I would suggest that Tony from Wareham come and live in New Bedford and pay your fair share to support them instead of others, us, of those of us that don't want to pay for them to be educated. You know what I'm saying? You get the jive?
I do. Do you think he's going to do it?
When he calls you, he criticized me after I had called. So when you know what his voice sounds like, if Tony's out there, hey, Tony, talk to Brian and tell him when you're ready to move in New Bedford and pay your fair share of high taxes. And then we can talk about the school, the $268 million of the school budget, which is the number one, the highest cost to the city. And not to mention, according to MassGov.gov, the pension plan here in New Bedford, the city has to pay out $40 million, and approximately $33 million of that is past obligations, and $7 million pension expenses for current employees. That's number two price tag. So number one, $268 million. Excuse me, $268 million for the school, and then the $40 million for the pensions.
Yeah, those pensions, you know, don't get me started, but those pensions, They're not paying for me. They don't pay my pension. You know what I mean?
It's almost like
the taxpayers don't pay my. Well, of course it is.
Think about it, Brian.
It's almost like a Ponzi
scheme.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the new city employees are paying for the ones that are retired because there's not enough money. So they have to pay for the ones that are retired. Because if the new employees in the city didn't pay for that, there would be no pensions for anybody.
Well, I guess where Brian comes from is, should we, you know, if we're talking police, if we're talking firefighters, that's different. But I'm not sure that I want to pay pensions for any other employee. I'm not sure that I want to pay a pension.
Like the teachers?
Yes.
And the school administrators?
Yes.
Like Mr. O'Leary?
Mm-hmm.
And you were right. You know, I got a kick out of when we were talking about the insurance for New Bedford. And 80% is the city pays for their insurance for city employees. And then the employee pays 20%. But you were right, absolutely right. As a city taxpayer, you're paying
the whole
100%.
Thing. That's right.
Absolutely
That's
correct.
Right, because you're paying those employees their salary, of which some of that money goes for their insurance.
Absolutely correct. You know something, Brian? Another thing you said that stood out is you vote for new people in, but what are they going to do about the $40 million pension? What are they going to do about the health insurance? What are they going to do about cutting $268 million, cutting that school budget? You know what the answer is, Brian?
Well,
absolutely squat.
I was going to say, I know how to spell nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a revolving door because the mayor puts out the budget, right? And the city council will tell you, well, we don't have that much power. All we can do is do line item cuts.
And that's true.
You know, but
you know what? But part of that is nobody has the balls to file a bill to say, let's get ourselves out of the system that the state has put us in.
Absolutely, because state mandates, they basically have cities and towns being forced, whether they can afford it or not, to have a certain amount in the school budget has to be a certain limit.
There you go.
You have to have other services that mandates that we can't afford. That's what, since when do the state, I guess my point is this, the state is basically strong-arming the cities and towns to manage their own budgets. And it's taking away your freedom. Where's the autonomy of the towns to do, you know, to balance their own budgets without all of these mandates?
Can I go ding, 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 ding? These are things that I've been saying for years, and people, it's like, I'm 1-800, I'm the dummy. Thank you for acknowledging what you just stated. Hey, and thank you. Have a good day. Afternoon.
Good night.
Evening. All right, we continue. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you.
That's great. I'm happy to hear it. This is Wendy Morrow from South Coast.
Good. How are you? Well, I mean, I guess you're not all that great.
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
That's not what I meant by all that great. I mean, I meant with the Parallel Products folks back at it.
Yeah, but you know what? We knew they weren't going to just lie down and take it the way that it was. They're just too arrogant to do that.
Beat them up.
That.
Go beat them up, Wendy.
No. They'll beat themselves up eventually. The little ones costing themselves so much money, but whatever. Yeah, that's their choice.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I was reading in New Bedford Light that the New Bedford City Council has taken $100,000 for legal fees to try help fight this.
Yes, they have. Yep.
So as a New Bedford taxpayer, I guess in this particular case, you're happy that the fight's going forward, but it's going to cost you dearly and most New Bedford residents.
Yes, And I understand that. But for the purposes of preserving and protecting what we have in the city right now and not going backwards with regards to bringing in more pollution, more contamination, and returning to the days of yore, how about we stop doing that and we start defending what we have and working towards making it better? We can't do that if we're bringing everybody's trash into the city.
True. So besides what's going to happen in court, do you have anything planned? Maybe picket outside South Coast Renewables or something like that?
No. We'll just wait and see what happens. I know it's not going to be, a quick process. And the citizens group that was represented by Conservation Law Foundation during the Board of Health hearing will be represented during this process as well. I'm hoping that the same attorney will be working with the Board of Health. I think it makes sense that it's the same attorney. He's, up to speed on the whole entire thing. He was part of the process. So to bring on a completely different attorney would make absolutely no fiscal sense whatsoever.
Well, if that attorney isn't good in front of a judge and or a jury, then you probably do want a different attorney. I don't know.
Well, he was the one that helped them make their decision. I mean, he didn't help them make their decision. He helped them understand the authority and the law, the laws that they had to abide by and the authority that they had to make the decision that they did. So he had to make sure, it's not based on feelings. It's based on evidence. It's not based on uproar. It's based on facts, and that the decision was in compliance with the law. And it was, because that's his job to do that. And so I can't think of a better person to represent them. He was part of the process, and he would have absolutely the best standing in order to get up there and defend that. He was part of it. Bringing on somebody brand new means somebody that has to start from scratch with going through everything, going through all the evidence, understanding what the process was. They weren't even here. So that's going to cost right there alone upwards of $20,000 just to get somebody up to speed. So it just doesn't make sense to start over. And I think that, we anticipated this. This wasn't a surprise. So knowing that the city council has done their due diligence and gone above and beyond, actually, in this case, by making sure that that money is earmarked and there as needed, and that, just having the historical knowledge of that the Board of Health did right by this community and that they made the right decision and that it wasn't arbitrary or capricious. It was valid. They had a mountain of evidence. I mean, you don't even have to pour through the 200 plus pages of evidence and all of the project filings and all the pre-filed testimony and all that. All you had to do was look at E.L. Harvey in May.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think we need another one. So I think that most likely their appeal is what's arbitrary and capricious, but really, a judge will make that decision. So,
well, but you might say that, and you did say that, but yes. Since it was expected, mm-hmm. I don't think that there's anybody in City Hall with knowledge of this, didn't expect a lawsuit to go forward. City Councilor Choquette expected mm-hmm. it enough that he got the money ready. So it sounds like this is the road that people knew that they were going to go down.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So we just have to have faith that the Board of Health decision will be upheld. I know that just reading the appeal itself is about 15 pages, and their claims are not that the evidence was not true, not that the facts and the concerns that were raised was not valid. They're not arguing that. They're arguing due process. So, again, I don't.
I know what due process is in a regular case, or as we've been talking about with immigrants. What's due process in this particular case?
I think they're just trying to say that procedurally things were not done the way that they should have been.
They're the ones who planned everything.
Exactly. And they're the ones that monopolized the whole time. I mean,
that's right. Yes, they did. Yeah.
The community got a very small amount of time. So there was a 10 citizens group, and only three people from that group were allowed to speak during the hearing. There were two experts that were slated to come for Conservation Law Foundation. One was a fire expert. One was a rodent expert. The rodent expert was dismissed because of parallel. So they did everything in their power to minimize the community's involvement, minimize the Conservation Law Foundation's participation. And they won that, but it still didn't work because the facts are the facts. This is a facility that is, just by its very nature, inherently dangerous and inherently risky and doesn't belong near a highly populated area. It just doesn't. I could argue that it's not needed to begin with, but we won't go down that rabbit hole. That's a whole other show.
Might be, but maybe that might help in the courtroom.
Well, no, what it will help is, down the road, our group working with city councilors and decision makers on combating the waste crisis in ways that are economically sustainable and environmentally sustainable for everyone. And there are ways to do that. And so those are the things we're going to be working on next. I mean, we're going to keep our eye on the appeal. We're going to engage in that process as needed and when appropriate. But in the meantime, we'll continue working on what we're working on here. So that New Bedford is on the right track going forward to protect its own community, do the right thing, and not be subject or susceptible to projects like this down the road just due to economic need. Because that's the problem.
Well, I think that is the huge thing right there. I was reading in New Bedford Light, Lowell, Fall River, New Bedford, those are the three most impacted cities when it comes to these types of projects. And if Parallel Products, South Coast Renewables, wins, New Bedford will be number one on that list.
Number one in trash. Yep.
Number one in trash.
I think we deserve to be number one in something better than that.
Yeah, I think the people certainly would want that too. So Let me, as we wrap this up, Will there be any meetups, any people getting together, I don't know, making signs, whatever the case may be? I guess I'm into this making signs because of what's going on with the SNAP and all the other things going on.
Am I going to see you out in the streets holding signs for things now? You're all into the making signs.
Maybe the making of the signs, not necessarily the holding of them.
Oh, okay. So a fair weather protester.
Foul weather.
Backdoor protester.
Ooh, let's watch that now.
Wait a minute. behind the scenes protester. I'm trying to think.
That's good.
What is it?
The curtain protester. I'm out there for the cause. It seems that most of these things seem to happen when I'm on the air.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. You always have the worst timing for work.
Or the best.
Included in the bus. It depends on who you ask and how you're looking at it, I suppose.
There it is.
We've had several meetings since the appeal was filed with our different advisors and our different, you know, peers in this campaign, and we have some more to come up, and then we're going to be figuring out what's next. But educating the community and keeping people from panicking and making them realize that they just need to have faith in their Board of Health, that their Board of Health decision is going to be upheld, because it's a strong decision based on solid information. It wasn't biased. It took a long 4 days, and you can tell by the questions that were asked and the comments that were made and the decision that was rendered that a lot of time and thought went into it. They read things from back to front, front to back. They heard everything. They asked questions. They considered everything. And at the end of the day, they realized that, at least two out of three of them, realized that approving this thing, even with conditions, that there were there were certain elements to this that even with conditions in place, it was just not preventable. The problems that it would cause were not preventable. And that's valid. We've got proof right down the street.
Wendy Morrill, South Coast Neighbors United, you brought up something in that last segment that you spoke. And I didn't ask you, how are the folks responding? I mean, you knew that there was likely going to be an appeal. Mm-hmm. And I know that you probably brought it up to the others, but after going to all the meetings, speaking out, protesting, writing letters, whatever, what was their reaction when you had to tell them that the appeal has been filed?
Again, not much surprise. We know who we're dealing with. It's who we've been dealing with for 6 years. But I think actually some indignation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
kind of knew it was going to happen, but still a gut punch when it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about gut punch, but more of like a, how dare you? How dare you? The city and the folks in the city and the Board of Health charged with taking care of them and protecting them have all spoken. And you still think that you have the right to just put your dirty business where you want, even though it's not wanted here and people have expressed valid concerns about all of the consequences of that business and all of the risks of it. And you still think that you have some sort of sense of entitlement over the people. So the fact that businesses have this sense of entitlement that makes what they want more important than what regular everyday citizens want, which citizens just want clean air, clean water, clean soil to grow their food in, and the sanctity of life that they deserve. It's called human rights. And a company like this doesn't care in the pursuit of money. Their greed overrides human rights. And that's where I think the frustration and the anger comes from. Not because the fight continues, not because they haven't gone away, we expected the appeal. I think it's just frustration over the fact that there's just, it solidifies what we've been saying all along. There's a blatant disregard for this community, period. Disrespect.
I'm hearing something that I think expands more than this particular project. There are people that I've heard in Central America and South America complain when companies want to tear up their land, do tire factories, etc., burn down their rainforest and whatnot. And that, to me, is also a blatant disregard. So
absolutely.
I hate to think that this is our country instigating this stuff, but it seems to be.
Well, it's definitely our government that has given giant corporations preferential treatment over the citizens. And I think that's what kind of feeds and sows that sense of entitlement that they have. I don't really care what the people want, even if they're 500 feet away. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what I came here to do. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get the government to back it. I'm going to get the government.
Yeah. Get the government, get the military, et cetera.
Right. And just they'll just push you out of the way. And this will be mine, just like I wanted it to be.
Hmm.
But then again, that's kind of how America was started, isn't it?
I guess. truth be told, yes. Unfortunately.
It's frustrating, but it's the truth, and we have to own that. But we need to change that. We need to start perpetuating the same cycle.
I think we can do well. I am for the capitalist free market type system. I don't want the government running the system because if the government is doing what we're saying right now, why do we want them to run the show?
Well, they already are, though.
But it should not be that way. Oh, I'm not arguing that they are or are not. I'm just saying that it shouldn't be that way.
Yes, I agree with that, but I don't know how we reverse course on this.
Well, I mean, I think the fight is happening right here at home. Think global, mm-hmm. act local, and that's what you're doing.
Sure. That's what we're trying to do, and hopefully we can help other groups that are fighting similar things not have to reinvent the wheel and start from scratch, but lend our support, lend our experience, give them some tips and advice on, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and we can spread that fever, that good fever of keep it going and don't give up.
Wendy, I love your moxie. I really do.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. I appreciate it.
You too. Have a great night.
You too. Wendy Morrill. She heads up South Coast Neighbors United. A lot of people in the group. And the fight continues. The fight continues. Are you still on board?
You never change things by fighting existing reality. To change something, you must build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
This is WBSM.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Hey. Back to Brian's Beat.
Is it about stopping narcotics, or is this about getting rid of President Maduro?
Nora Roberts talking, interviewing President Trump. The interview actually happened on Friday or Saturday. It played last evening on 60 Minutes. And the response from the president, it was kind of mixed. I think I have it here somewhere. Let's see. Is that it? That it? Anyway. So the president talked about how Venezuela has emptied their jails. It's a story that we've heard before. They all empty their jails and they let the nuts and the fruitcakes out of the asylum, and they all make their way to the United States. Now, I'm trying to think of the proper way to say this, because I have no doubt that people from Venezuela has made their way to the United States. I have no doubts that gang members have made their way. And I have no doubt that there are criminals from Venezuela that have made their way to the United States. But I have to use my naive brain for a second to really put this all together. So Maduro gave the order, let's empty the jails, let's empty the insane asylums, and we point everybody that comes out in one direction that says you want to make your way to the United States from Venezuela. So unless you're on a boat, and we know most of the people that came up, they walked. So they go from Venezuela to Colombia to Panama, cross over the body of water that Panama Canal goes through to get to the northern side of Panama. Then they go through Costa Rica, I think Nicaragua, El Salvador, and I might have some of these countries mixed up. But eventually, they get to Guatemala, and then from Guatemala to Mexico, and then Mexico all the way to the United States. I'm sure it's possible. That's a long trip. Now, since they were leaving from Venezuela, coming out of insane asylums and prisons, did they have any food? Any water? Sandals? What kind of clothing? It's not always hot down there. So I'm thinking about this trek that these Venezuelans made. Oh, I know. We've got the drones taking video that none of us have seen that would show us all of this. I'll tell you what. The United States has done a lot of monitoring of Venezuela. And even though Colombia has come out, the president of Colombia has stated that they are the drug kingpins. They run the coke. Any coke that they do run through Venezuela is making its way to Europe, not Venezuela up to the United States. Now, you can believe him or not believe him, okay? I don't know the guy. I'm telling you what he stated. And what about the fentanyl? Remember, they're doing the fentanyl, too. But if they were doing the fentanyl, how come we're just finding out that Venezuela was also involved in the fentanyl? Before, we were hearing about Mexico and China. I think Nora made that comment in her interview. And the president was kind of, you know, and as he does, he veered away from the subject. He started blaming Mexico. And I thought to myself, wow, how convenient that is. So I want to come back because if you recall the conversation I was having with Wendy Morrill, we were talking about how, you know, basically the nerve of Parallel Products to want to appeal what the people of New Bedford and the Board of Health in New Bedford have ruled against having. The arrogance of doing something like that. Well, the arrogance has to start somewhere. And if these bigwig business leaders think that they can do it, where are they learning it from? The bigwig politicians. The bigwig politicians. And we know that some of our major, major multinational corporations have been inchworming. You know, they want the oil. They want the oil off Haiti. They want the oil off Venezuela. And the president stated last night when Nora Roberts asked if Maduro was going to be out of power very soon. That's best way I can say it, out of power anytime soon. The president responded, I think so. He's given the order to get him out. Guys like Senator Phil Graham, they have stated to Maduro, you know, you might want to make your way to China or Russia. Senator Rick Scott out of Florida, same thing. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. At some particular time, we have to look at the arrogance of some of our leaders and really start pointing the finger. And as much as I am a capitalist and for free markets, I'm not for ruining other countries and other people's lives.
The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised.
It is.
Will not be televised.
It is.
Will not be televised.
It is.
WBSM.
They have better movie tonight, huh?
Wow, what's that aftershave you're wearing?
Your high karate aftershave is so powerful, it drives women right out of their minds.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Hi, I'm Ray, and I live here in Long Island with my wife, Deborah. She's great with the kids, the house, everything. Oh, I don't know how she does it. We've got a daughter, Allie, and twin two-year-old boys. It's not really about the kids. My parents live across the street. That's right. And my brother lives with them. Now, not every family would go by on a conveyor belt for you, but mine would because...
Everybody loves Raymond.
It's going to be between a bad Democrat and a communist. I'm going to pick the bad Democrat all the time, to be honest with you.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Bad Democrat against the communist. I want to thank Wendy Morrow for calling in on the show tonight and your calls. We have 50 in Adamsville, 50 in Rochester, 50 across the board, also in New Bedford. Tim has you at 6 tomorrow.